Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians say no. That if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 175 confirmed COVID cases yesterday. 73 were in the FCT. Lagos had 34, Rivers had 15. The third wave seems to be dying down. And like I always say, don't let it catch you on its way out. Don't go out if you can avoid it. When you do go out, wear your mask, maintain your distance from people, wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. That way we can keep ourselves and each other safe. Second hard fact of the day, vaccinations are ongoing. Just go to the primary healthcare center nearest to you for your first dose. But for your second dose, go back to where you got your first dose and they'll give you a second dose. We've got a third hard fact for the day. We're organizing a debate competition for teenagers. It's the I Beg to Differ tournament. You remember I Beg to Differ? It was an element on hard facts for a while. Until advertisers bought up the time belt where we used to have I Beg to Differ. But anyways, it's coming back as a competition for children between 13 and 17. So if you are a principal listening to me and you know that there's a student in your school who could do fantastically with this, encourage them to register and be a part of this debate. It will happen live on air. We'll have quarterfinals, then we'll have semifinals, then we'll have the finals. And the winner will get 1 million naira to help with their education. Yeah, 1 million naira for the winner. So if you have a child who's between 13 and 17, they're still in secondary school. We've been getting some auditions from 17-year-olds who have left secondary school. We don't want 17-year-olds who have left secondary school. You should still be in secondary school. And then you get to participate. We're going to, of course, get proof that you're still in secondary school and that you are actually the age that you say that you are. So that there'll be no juror, there'll be no mago. But yes, 13 to 17-year-olds, you get to go on our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. www.nigeriainfo.fm. That's how you sign up. You have to live in Lagos to participate, all right? Because you're going to need to come into the station to be a part of the live debate when it starts. The winner gets a cash prize of 1 million naira for their future education. I have a great show for you today. We'll start with the big three as always. We'll talk about police allegedly trying to extort a Lagosian for 10 million naira. Then let's talk about the Nigerian women's basketball team threatening to boycott the World Cup qualifiers over unpaid stipends and allowances. And then let's talk about Zamfara Assembly suspending two members for allegedly working with terrorists to murder a colleague. On the glass ceiling, let's talk about getting girls into the digital economy. Monday was International Day of the Girl, and this year's theme is Digital Generation, Our Generation. But is Nigeria really trying to make sure that the next generation of girls are digital? I asked that question because I saw a really mind-boggling situation with a secondary school. I'll be sharing that story with you about this secondary school that provides sewing and hairdressing lesson for girls while boys can play video games. 4 o'clock. Don't miss that conversation. On Balogun and Broad at 5 p.m., let's talk about the bakery business. How are rising prices and falling buying power affecting the making and selling of bread? It's the realest business show on radio, and that's part of why you've made Hard Facts the number one current affairs show in the city. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. Thank you for listening every day. As usual, we'll have headlines for you, business, sports updates as well, every hour on the hour. But right now, let's get into the big three. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your Hard Facts.
The big three on the Hard Facts. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
After NSARS, is the police fixing its problems? Will the women's basketball team go on strike, or will the sports ministry pay them? Are some government officials working with insurgents and terrorists? Those are your big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is another look back at the NSARS demonstrations. A year ago today, Nigerians were in the streets protesting against police brutality and extortion. If you're watching our live stream at the moment, you're seeing footage of two young girls being dragged into a police station, being beat up by some policemen. We're seeing them being dragged on the streets of Surulere, I believe. That's where it happened on this day last year. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. You see the footage for yourself of these young women who were protesting police brutality, getting brutalized by police. We also saw on this day last year, or we reported at least on this day last year on Hard Facts, these young men who were dragged into a police station, and then this happened afterwards. You can watch it as well on our live stream. For those of you who can't watch, some young men are getting dragged. So we have some young men who have just been dragged by the police into a police station, saying to the policemen, "We're not there, we're not there, we're not there, we're not there." And then they speak some Yoruba. I don't know what the Yoruba words mean. And then the next thing we hear gunshots, and then we heard silence. This happened last year during the NSARS protests. This was before October 20, 2020. Now, while the demonstrations were going on, some Nigerians said that they should stop. And by the way, this was after the IG had announced that SARS had been dissolved. This happened in Lagos on the next day after the IG had dissolved SARS. So Nigerians at the time were saying, some Nigerians at least, were saying, stop. Government has already agreed to reform the police. So at the time, people were asking, well, government is saying one thing, but we just saw footage of young women getting dragged into a police station, getting the beating of their lives. We just saw young men dragged into a police station, and the next thing we heard gunshots and silence. If that is true, it should mean that if it is true that government has agreed to reform the police, it should mean that 1 year later, police conduct should have improved significantly. Right? It should mean that what I just showed you on our live stream, on Facebook, on YouTube, should not be happening anymore 1 year later. I mean, if the government was sincere and serious when it promised to reform police a year ago, if the government has been acting persistently on that promise for a whole year, we should be seeing a new, improved police force by now. Are we seeing that, Lagos? I'll let you answer for yourself, but first let me share a story that a man brought to social media this week. He claims that the police arrested him for no reason and tried to extort 10 million naira from him. According to him, he hailed a ride to take him home from the passport office. A group of policemen allegedly stopped him and jumped into the car. He says only one of them was wearing a uniform. They seized his passport. They went through his phones. They searched his WhatsApp for dollars or any mention of Forex. Then they called him a fraudster because they found messages where his friends and family sent him their foreign account details. And so this man was taken to the police station. He says that they didn't let him call anyone. They forced him to write a statement first before he could finally make one phone call. They allegedly printed all of the messages, about 50 pages of messages where he was talking about Forex with his family members abroad. And then they took a video of him asking him to make a confession of sorts on video, allegedly, with the pages of that WhatsApp document that they printed. And then they allowed him his phone call. The police told him that if he wanted to be released, he should pay 10 million naira. Basically, they were convinced that he was a fraudster and they wanted their own cut. They were allegedly going to put him in a cell overnight, but his friends saved him. The friend is the son of an AIG. No, actually, his father is friends with an AIG. So it was his father's friend that saved him. The AIG made calls pretending that it was his son that was arrested. That's how, out of fear, the police let this one go. This is not a story from Ensazu. It's not a story from last year. This is a story that broke from this week on social media. This week. And there are many others like it that did not make it to social media. And here's my question. If an event like this can still happen, can the police, can the government say that it has successfully reformed the police? And if the government has not successfully reformed the police, does it have the moral right to tell Nigerians not to memorialize NSARS? I showed you footage from 2020 while the protests were going on, and I just told you a story from 1 year after. If the government has not successfully reformed the police, does it have the moral right to tell Nigerians not to memorialize NSARS? I ask this because yesterday and Monday, we talked about the Lagos Police Command saying that it won't allow any NSARS memorial demonstrations. At the Lekki toll gate at the moment, there's a ton of police vans and machinery, I guess, trying to stop any form of protests at the toll. We're now hearing other states making similar proclamations. But while all of that is going on, we still have citizens complaining about being harassed by police. Over to you, Lagos, 1 year after NSARS. How do you assess the government's efforts and the government's intentions of reforming the police? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. And of course, we're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also streaming on YouTube. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. Joseph from Ketu is my first caller. Hi, Joseph.
Thank you very much, Madam Sandra.
Welcome.
I'm happy to work on with you again today. Thank you for your efforts.
Yes.
On the issue of the police brutality, vis-a-vis the issue of NSARS protest that happened a while ago, a year ago. You see, the truth of the matter is that we are in a country where it's either we are deceiving ourselves or we are allowing our leaders to deceive us. You see, the problem of please. It's not a city council. You cannot reform a mindset. You can only transform a mindset. The police brutality is a mindset issue. It's the sense of value of our police. The situations around their land that make them look, see us citizens as similar to animals or people who they cannot regard as human beings. It's not a thing that is, you can't just want to reform the police. It doesn't happen that way. You see, look, ask a typical policeman by the roadside. There is a value system that runs through their minds. They are seeing the society is seeing them as they are not actually the victim of the system where they are operating. Look at their salary, for instance. Look at the circumstances around. Ask anybody who is prominently, even yourself as you are there, or myself. Can I say I want to be a policeman today? No, we think the society see them as people who are possibly a victim of some problem in society. That's why they have gone to join police. So carrying that gun or wearing that uniform, they're on the road as people who are the victim of situation in society. So they don't see us citizens in Nigeria as people who should be valued as it were. And the second issue in that, even apart from that issue, is the fact that the system, the police system itself, look at people who are sometimes they go about, I think sometimes this year when we have stories of people, twins being shot to death somewhere around K2 side here. Why? Because this guy, after he was arrested from the squad, that was drunk, carrying gun. How will a drunk man be giving gun and ammunition to go and be carried anywhere? The value system of our police is zero. So, looking at all these situations together, it will be a role on the part of the police or the government to say, want to reform the police. You can't reform a mindset, you can only transform it. And this as well goes back to the process of recruitment. Do you do any mental test or anything for these people that are recruited? These are issues that are germane to recruitment.
So since all of that is happening, does the government have the moral right to tell Nigerians not to memorialize NSARS, not to have a memorial for NSARS?
The truth is that it's either way. If I'm in a position of authority today in Nigeria too, with what I saw last year, I think I'm likely to take that same position. Not because I'm deliberately wanting not to be concerned with what happened last year, but the possibility or the likelihood of it being hijacked again this time around.
So isn't the way to make sure it's not hijacked to send police to guard the protests, protect the protesters, instead of banning protests, period?
The truth of the matter is that, you see, these are police, the security apparatus is overstretched in Nigeria.
Thank you so much for calling us. We've been talking for 3 minutes. I want to talk to Mary in Ajagbadi. Hello, Mary.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
I'm listening to this program right now. Mm-hmm. I just want to speak concerning this police issue.
Mm-hmm.
In my street here in Ajagbadi, I still find police, seeing these young men on the road. There were two guys on a bike. I just crossed the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw these policemen. One of them, they left their boat in front. One of them left, came to the front, sat down as if he wasn't a policeman.
Hmm.
And when he saw these two guys on the bike, he just quickly jumped, held them on their trousers and began to put hands in their pocket.
Hmm.
This thing still happened. It's absurd. I felt so bad because looking at what have transpired last year and what is happening today, is still happening today, I feel so disappointed. I just saw it that they've not learned their lesson and they are still going. If they bring another strike now, protest in the street, they will start calling young men that they are thieves, they are that. But this thing is still happening and nobody's doing anything about it. It's absurd.
All right, Mary.
I'm feeling very disappointed. I don't even know what to do. I felt helpless. It's like, if I had my way, if I can video these people and I'll post them on WhatsApp, on Facebook, probably they might be looking at it as if I'm being wicked. Mm-hmm. But this thing is still going on in the society. Nobody's doing anything about it. Absurd.
Mary, thank you so much for calling. We've got Bobby Agwo calling from, I don't know what country. Hi, Bobby.
Hello. Hi there, Sandra.
Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'd like to contribute by concerning the police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really experienced firsthand myself, but I've seen a lot of videos. And I think one of the most important parts is to try and establish the root cause, the reason, right? And the reasons can be put into two sectors. One, accountability. Nigerian police, right, they have a very good understanding that they can get away with anything. So for an individual to hurt another human being, to torture somebody, to kill somebody, behind their thoughts, they know, I'm going to get away with this and nothing will happen. Good example, if a police was to kill somebody and they're given life imprisonment, or they torture somebody and they get 10 year imprisonment, there will be a lot of changes because they know the consequences for their actions will be held against them. But nobody does anything. Like the government would not hold them accountable. So they know they can get away with it. So until they are held responsible for all the wrongdoings, I don't think it's going to change.
Bobby, thank you so much for calling us. All right, Lagos. Remember, of course, if you are a listener who listens abroad, you can call into the show via Skype. Just search for Nigeria Info FM on Skype and call into the live studio. We'll put your call through on air. If you're a woman, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. If you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. And of course, there is Facebook, sorry, Nigeria Info 99.3. WhatsApp is 08095975805. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep talking about the police, amongst other stories. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 3:30. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We took another look at the NSAS demonstrations, from last year. We talked about, is the police fixing its problems 1 year later? And if they aren't, does the government have a moral right to ask Nigerians to not memorialize NSAS? So that was our first story. You can still talk about it, but let's move on to a sports story now, which is our second story. It's about the women's national basketball team, the back-to-back African champions, because they just won AfroBasket again. But in spite of their victory, they're not happy. They're not happy. That's because they're still being owed. They're still being owed bonuses, they're being owed stipends, they're being owed all of this by the Nigerian Basketball Federation, NBBF. And the sports ministry. So not be just Basketball Federation, they owe them. They say that this includes money donated for them by some banks. You know what? Let me just play their video for you, so you hear it from the horse's mouth, so that nobody will say that Sandra said it. Hear from our champions themselves.
First, we want to say thank you to the Nigerian Embassy in Cameroon for celebrating us. We appreciate you more than you know. Other than that, we do not feel appreciated or celebrated after achieving this historical feat. In 2017, we won the AfroBasket Championship, and 3 days later, we were presented to the Father of Nations, Excellency President Muhammadu Buhari, and his entire cabinet by the former ministry, Honorable Solomon Dailong, as customary with handshake. We have defended our championship and brought back the cup in 2019 and 2021, which is historical, but still no invitation has been extended to the team to visit Asora or a presidential handshake. Why?
President of NBBF, Musa Kida, said that the Federation isn't owing any players, officials, or vendors. This is far from the truth. The last time we checked, our allowances, stipends, bonuses, training grants, and donations made by banks for players, officials, and volunteers still have not been paid.
We are owed $73,118 from the NBBF, $24,000 from the Ministry for the Tokyo Grant, and $100,000 from donations from three banks in Nigeria.
Ever since our general manager and team manager resigned, we feel like we've been marginalized. Our senior leadership, like the former president, never really shows up for camps or competitions to boost our morale. And when we have significant concerns and issues that needs to be addressed, when he does show up, we get vague answers, as if our concerns aren't important to him. But when we win, they magically show up for photo ops and celebrations to use for political gain. Musa Keita was not in Cameroon, but somehow he showed up to Abuja to take pictures and to hoist a trophy, again, for political gain.
The Tokyo 2020 Olympics was full of a bunch of distractions for all of us. We didn't know the final roster until the day before the flight. So our first team practice was in Tokyo days before the first game.
There's a lot of things that could have been handled differently to increase our chances of success, starting with our travel. There was a 36-hour flight, our team gear and uniforms, making sure they're of standard, two practices a day, not being able to access medical staff at certain points during the Olympics, as well as gift exchange between teams.
Why hasn't the team been to Nigeria since 2019? We're wondering the same thing. As the Tigers players, we want to go back to Nigeria. You know, we don't understand why we have not been to the country for the last 2 years for camp or for any celebration. It's customary that the team is to go home for major competitions so that we can have morale. It's also important that we inspire the next generation to follow their dreams. Every player that has been at the Tigers since 2017 has their own thoughts and feelings about the dissolved NBBF board and coaching staff over the course of the time. It is evident that our voices have not been heard, our requests for little things have been ignored, on top of not being celebrated or recognized as much as a three times back-to-back-to-back African Cup of Nations champion deserves.
Our demands, all money owed to players, officials, and vendors, adequate travel to competitions, and a team manager for all team functions. If these demands are not met, with all due respect to the presidency, the NBBF, and the ministry, all the Tigers players will not be reporting to the FIBA World Cup tournament in 2022 in February. We are one united voice.
I stand.
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 The Tigers there in that video, we showed it to you on our live stream. Earlier in the year during the Olympics, this issue came up. Remember that the team's official Twitter handle started dragging the sports ministry over unpaid staff salaries and player allowances. Back then, the ministry and the NBBF said that it was fake news and that the handle had been hijacked by a disgruntled ex-coach. Now, it's no longer an ex-coach or a faceless Twitter handle admin. It's the players themselves. You watched them. You saw all of them. You heard them end it with, "I stand." This thing keeps happening in Nigerian sports. Right now, there are reports that the Super Eagles coach has also not been paid for almost a year. Back when late Stephen Keshi was Eagles' boss, he went unpaid for months as well. And of course, quarrels over player bonuses happen at almost every World Cup and Olympics. And that means that we really need to be asking why. What are the systemic reasons why our sports authorities seem unable to do the very basic thing of paying people that what they have earned, what is their due? Not be your money, now money we bank don't give them. So what's the issue? What are the systemic reasons why? Lagos, what do you think about this appeal from the reigning back-to-back African champions, the Nigerian women's basketball team? They're threatening to boycott the World Cup qualifiers, by the way. Do you think they should do it? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 0145-7190. You can still talk about the police story from our first story today. You can also just send us a message on WhatsApp if you cannot give us a call at the moment. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Michael is on Gore Palace Way. Hello, Michael. Welcome.
Okay, so concerning, good afternoon, Michael calling from Agor Palace.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so concerning the sports predicament, we've had it over the years, and the question is, I would ask the players, why do they keep on playing? It's either they're playing knowing that they're not going to get paid, and then we know they're doing it because they love the sport, or they just close their minds out and they just play the game. They can't always play and come back to this issue. Across the board, footballers, basketballers, it's across the board. It's been going on for years. It's established that it's been going on for years. They agree. So if you are ever going to just play and play the sport because you really love the sport, it's fine. But having to play, then come back and complain, the next year comes again, you play, come back and complain, it's either you don't play at all or you just play and don't complain. It's one thing. Or you leave the country alone. We already know that we can. Let's not try and change. There are some things that we know will not change. It has been there before you got there. And by the time you leave, it will still be there.
Okay.
It's just a matter of picking and choosing where you want to stand. It's painful, but at this point, you get to a stage where you just have to pick the orange you want to drink.
Michael there. Thank you for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Fidel.
Welcome, Fidel. Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, let me say well done for your for the job.
Thank you.
And I just want you to know one thing. Let me contribute this way.
Okay.
First of all, we already know the kind of country we are, and we know the kind of leaders we have. You cannot give what you don't have. And that is it. So I just start to imagine why all these monies we have voted we are giving to these players. What is wrong in giving? Don't be surprised that somebody must have collected this money, put it in a fixed deposit account for it to use interest for him and his family. Whereas the people that are doing the job are being neglected. In fact, in every ministry, there is nowhere you can even give the government 80%. What is it? I will advise the basketball players or whatever to stay away from the pitch. Let the sports ministry learn from this. Thank you. Well done for the job.
Thank you very much for calling, Fidel. We've got Oge on the line. Thank you for calling us. Hello.
Yes, I'm holding on.
Hi, you're live on the show now.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm really, I don't know how I'm feeling right now. On the Tigress. It's very shameful that we have people who is representing us out there, and we really do not want to fulfill our own part of the promise. So how can somebody be patriotic with all this? People, I'm sure these people are not, so some of them are not even, they don't be here in Nigeria. So in different countries where they base, they still want to fly Nigerian flag. And yet, our people do not want to do the right thing. I'm just ashamed of this country. And I don't feel bad when people say they're not patriotic. I don't feel bad. Therefore, the police, just like the first callers, some of the things he said, that their mindset, I don't know how it's not by changing their uniform or by saying they have to change the name of staff.
Hi, okay? Okay. I guess okay had to attend to a kid there. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, Alex here.
Alex, welcome.
Yeah, you see, Sandra, the other day, I always take you back to this topic that we discussed a few weeks ago.
about the Canadian embassy that would turn down the application of
That's right.
A former, you understand?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Again, some people thought there was a problem with me saying that that the system was sick and the system needed to be looked at as a whole. Okay, see 770,000 jobs. We couldn't even get past that. On my Excel sheet, just one single Excel sheet, I can execute that job for the Nigerian government. I'm not talking of any software from the sky, from the moon. No, just on an Excel sheet on my computer. Right? We couldn't get that done. Look, our university people are threatening any moment from now. You see, you hear their result. They are going on strike. See sports. See doctors. What is it that we can do right? Don't you now see that there is a problem with our system? Our way of doing things, the Nigerian way. There is something wrong with the Nigerian way. And I'm pleased with the fact that some people hold us to account. Some of them are saying they should be taking us one by one. How can you solve Nigeria's problem person by person? It's a sick country. Una never see am, Sandra. Make a digu.
Alex, bye bye. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, Sandra, this is Jeff calling from Amua.
Welcome, Jeff.
This particular women issue, the basketballers, it reminded me of the video of the embarrassment they had, you know, in one of these European countries where they actually camped. You remember the one Nigerian that was a resident in one of those countries that actually embarrassed them, you know, harassed them? And everybody was angry. But if you look at it critically, this is the whole system. It has, you know, crumbled. I really do not understand, you know, what is really going on. Because if you look at things, the way a man... In fact, to be very honest with you, these people that are holding these people's money, they are private business people. They don't care. And that is why it doesn't affect them. They're not even ashamed of the fact that these people, you know, some of them are resident in different countries of different world. And they must have expended money and time trying to represent their country. But all they are interested in is what they are going to get rather than, you know, sorting out these people. It's a real shame. Honestly, I don't know where to start, but I just pray and you know, hope that this country can get better in the future. But as it is now, things are really not you know, looking good.
Thank you very much for calling, Sandra. Peter in Victoria Island. Well, okay, I lost that message. So here's a message from Samuel, who says Lagos State government cannot allow protests at Lekki toll gate again because of the money that they are preparing to start collect very soon. Their selfish interests will not let them allow any other activity to happen there. We've got Peter in VI, who says, Sandra, the government has not transformed anything and will not. With all the complaints about the malevolence of the Nigerian police officers before, during and after the NSAS protest, no single officer has been reprimanded. Well, that's not true. Lots of officers have actually been reprimanded. But Peter goes on to say it's business as usual. The status quo remains. Some officers have been reprimanded. A lot of them have faced orderly room trials. Wari Leifa says, Sandra, has anything changed? Is bail now free? Not memorize, know my licenses. Okay. The truth is that nothing has changed. The police, like the Nigerian system, deteriorates every day. This is basically because there's no consequence for misbehavior. There is flagrant impunity in Nigeria. The last NSAS protest has been swept under the carpet. The Lagos State Commissioner of Police has no moral and legal right right to ban protests or to order people not to memorialize the last protest. That order itself is a sign of impunity. The government at federal and state levels are used to suppressing the Nigerian people. That is what is at play. Wari Laifa, thank you so much for your message. I love reading from you. It's always a pleasure to read from you. We've got David in Los Angeles who says, how on earth will these ladies go and represent Nigeria, knowing fully well what happened to athletes in Asia recently? These governments do not care about human beings. Talk more of sports. Okay. David from Los Angeles. Corruption in sports is endemic. Nothing will happen because everything is rotten from the head. Please take care of your health. The government is afraid of its own shadow. The way NSAS started, nothing has changed. Police are thinking guns will save them when masses react. Well, let's hope masses do not react. Last year was also pretty terrible for the policemen because they started getting hunted down and it was quite terrible for them. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. Chika says, my friend came to Ikorodu to see his mom and his mom said that she didn't have money to cook. So this my friend decided to withdraw money from the ATM. He was standing on the road. Police saw him, dragged him into their van and six other guys. We've been looking for him for the past 2 days. He called yesterday that he was arrested. He was freed yesterday. He paid 15K. He has been depressed since. I'm going to his house now to see him. Wow. Chika, I'm so sorry that that happened to your friend. Quite a terrible ordeal. So terrible. Adeshino says, Sandra, your voice shows you're a bit down. Please be well soon. Oh, thank you. Yes. I've been having cold for the past few days. It's not COVID. I can smell things and I can taste things, but it's a very bad flu. So I have like a very heavy head and really like cold, like chest, everything. I've tried Aboniki, I've taken medication. It's just there. But anyways, let's move on to our final story, shall we? Thank you for the good wishes. The Zamfara House of Assembly is investigating two of its members for allegedly sponsoring terrorist groups. That's our third story. Yusuf Muhammad Anka and Ibrahim Tucker Bakura are accused of working with terrorist groups in the state and allegedly being behind the assassination of a House member, Muhammad Ahmad. You may remember Ahmad's death back in June. You know, if you cast your mind back, he had just defected to the APC along with Governor Bello Matawalle, and he was traveling on a highway when terrorists shot him in his convoy. Do you remember? Anka and Bakura deny the accusations. Of course, they say it's all politically motivated because they've been trying to impeach the Speaker of the House, Nasiru Magaya. So they claim this suspension is Magaya's way of stopping or silencing them. But their accusers in the House insist that there are even phone recordings of them talking to the terrorists multiple times. Either way, here's what happens next. They've been suspended for 3 months. They've also been summoned to appear before the House Ethics Committee alongside the security agencies. And speaking of security agencies, here's my question. Should the SSS not be the ones who are taking the driver's seat right now? I mean, if a State House of Assembly is suspecting two of its members of working with terrorists and murdering a third member, should the nation's main internal intelligence service not be the ones leading the investigation? Because so far, neither assemblyman has been invited to SSS office. Neither of them have been detained by the SSS. Now, you may say, well, maybe the SSS is not arresting terror suspects. But what about Chimotelago? I told you during the big weekend on Monday that the army arrested him, handed him over to the SSS. He was arrested because he was seen in public wearing a tunic that appeared to depict the Biafran flag. He was in SSS custody. They moved him first to Enugu, then to Abuja. He was held without access to his lawyers or doctors for days. He's been released now, by the way, no charges. But this leads to a very obvious, very natural question. If the SSS can see it fit to detain someone simply for wearing a tunic, do they not have enough grounds to at least invite for questioning these Zamfara lawmakers who are accused of murder? Allegedly, with phone call recordings as evidence. And speaking of call recordings, you also know that Zamfara is now under a telecoms shutdown. So right now, no more phone calls, which also means no more call recordings. So let's say for a moment that it turns out that these lawmakers are guilty, and it turns out that the key piece of evidence that incriminated them was the recorded calls. Does that prove the point made by some people that the telecom shutdown is actually getting in the way of investigations? Because if the phone lines were still working, then the security agencies and intelligence agencies could be monitoring the call of suspects and eventually figure out who is planning with who and what they are planning. Abiha Yusiam, what do you think? Before I take your thoughts, though, there's one last update from Zamfara. I don't even think I'll be able to take your thoughts because we're about to go off on another break. But one final update from Zamfara. Governor Matawalle says the state is getting combat drones from Turkey to help them fight terrorists. Now, this has sparked a bit of a debate over whether a state government has the right to do this under our laws. Because remember that security is on the exclusive list for the federal government. And remember when Amotekun was being discussed, one major point was that state governments have no right to arm themselves. The only reason why Amotekun can be armed is that the program is technically registered under the federal government's community policing initiative. So unless these drones are also bundled into a federal program, there is a question about whether Zamfara has the right to do this. But at the same time, all over the country, we're seeing and hearing state governments taking security into their own hands. Apart from Amotekun in the southwest and the proposed south-south security outfit, you also have the enforcement units for anti-grazing laws, for example. And of course, the southern governors have demanded that security be decentralized. So maybe what's happening in Zamfara with these drones is all part of the same restructuring by indirect means pattern that we're seeing lately. I don't know. What do you think? I won't have the time to take your thoughts, but it's something to ponder about. When we come back from this break, we'll bring you business news. After that, we'll bring you today's glass ceiling, where we'll talk about women in the digital age. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.